critter, he began to darken around the neck and withers, so I slowed him down. I didn't want him to get too sweated up. We had a long ride back to Doubtful coming pretty quick. Besides, I wanted a little time to enjoy the air, the puffball clouds, the snowy mountains off to the west, and the greened-up pastures, mostly giant wide gulches that shone with spring wildflowers and emerald grasses. I sure didn't know why I was being a sheriff and Doubtful when I could be out in this, riding the range for some outfit. We never know why we make choices, and I still didn't know why I'd stuck with the sheriff job. I wasn't even qualified for it. Judge Nippers had just reminded me I didn't even know the law. Critter and me, we rode into the yard at Rubel's headquarters, and sure enough, we was met by Rudy Beaver, a shotgun-toting old boy I knew a little. He was a bearded old coot, a real cowman, and not a gun hawk. He was grimy and water-eyed, and I don't think he'd washed for a year or so. He'd be the one to leave behind, looking after the place and the cows, making sure there was feed and water, and the dogs got fed, and the coyotes got shot, and lightning didn't burn down the barn. He hobbled my way, cradling a shotgun in his arm, and I settled down Critter and waited for Beaver to come closer. I didn't know much about him, but I'd heard he had done some hard time somewhere long ago, and was as mean as horseshoe nails. I was wearing my star, which caught the sun and made my visit official. He just hobbled up with the muzzle of that scatter gun pointing low, like it should. He seemed peaceable enough.
Sheriff, you need something? You ain't at the hanging?
Well, that's in 2 days. Nah, I'm just looking around, and I'm hoping you'll answer a few questions for me, since I don't know much of anything about this outfit.
Uh-huh.
Your bunch is in town waiting for the hanging, and they're behaving themselves, far as I know.
Far as you know.
Your boss is living in Rosie's. Half your crew's in there, too. That and the Last Chance Saloon.
Yeah, that's him, all right. He's gotta have a woman every hour of every day. Me, I got weary of that about age 30. I've been happy ever since.
Crayfish likes some women more than others?
Yep. He wants women who've never seen the inside of a church and don't ever plan to.
What doesn't he like about church ladies, Rudy?
You're a dumbass, Sheriff.
Is it true he rented a few and brought them out here?
I didn't hear what you said, so it was never asked.
I heard that his man Rocco rented some gals and brought them here.
You looking for something, Sheriff?
Yeah. There's 4 graves out there. They're girls Rocco brought here. Girls that never returned. The madams were told the girls hopped a stagecoach to Denver. You know something about it.
I didn't have a thing to do with it. You done, Sheriff?
No, not done. Until this is cleared up, everyone on the place is under suspicion, and that includes you.
How'd you find out about it?
How'd you know about it, Rudy?
Rocco, he likes hinting at things.
Like killing girls?
Oh, I don't think Rocco did it. I think the boss himself got tired of them and did it.
How'd they die?
I never wanted to know.
Why did you hide this from the law? Why didn't you come to town and tell me?
You don't know nothing, Sheriff, and you didn't learn a thing from me. Is that clear?
Did Crayfish kill Rocco?
Nah, that Bragg kid did it.
Why would the kid do that?
Beats me, Sheriff. But that Bragg kid solved all of Crayfish's problems for him, including the calf wrestling of those Jonas boys.
Sure is wonderful how King Bragg solved all of Crayfish's problems, ain't it? That Double Plus brand I saw on some calves. Is that Crayfish's new brand?
It is now, because the Jonas boys sort of surrendered it.
So when we hang King Bragg, it'll all be over. The killer got hanged. Crayfish won't have anyone rustling his calves, and there won't be anyone blackmailing him either.
You're a real card, Sheriff. Watch your back.
How'd you know this stuff, Rudy?
Because I'm deaf and read lips mostly.
So nobody cares what they say around you?
Nah. Look at here, Sheriff. I'm crazy. I made all this up.
Just imagining it, I guess.
Just thinking stuff up to pass the time. Sure is slow, nothing happening on the place. You get the picture? Just thinking stuff up. I'm crazy as a loon.
Crayfish. He's a fine fella, right?
Nobody pays attention to a crazy old loon like me. Don't you either. I'm half blind, half deaf, and half crazy. So that thing don't matter none.
You see any of it? You see Crayfish do anything to them girls?
Don't even know what you're talking about, damn it. Now, you're trespassing on private property. This is a T-Bar Ranch, mister. So you just turn that horse around and get your skinny butt off the place.
How did Crayfish kill them women out there?
How should I know?
You like to imagine things. That's what you said. So in your mind, when you're thinking about stuff around here, how did Crayfish do it?
Bullwhip.
Bullwhip? Whipping those girls he rented from the parlor houses? Whipping them to death?
Just my notions floating around in my head. Don't matter none.
But you saw it happen. Saw Crayfish.
Nah, I'm the hear no evil, see no evil, do no evil monkey.
He suddenly lifted the shotgun until its twin bores were poking straight at me. Okay, I'm going.
You never was here. I just think up things to pass the time away.
Okay, I never was here. See ya. I slowly wheeled Critter around before he kicked Rudy to death, and we edged away. Them black bores of that scattergun sure made my back itch. Whoa, boy! I was lifted out of the saddle a couple times. Rudy Beaver, he was slapping his knee and waving that shotgun all over the place. I looked around for bright red blood on me or Critter, but didn't see nothing at all. Just brown horse and a lot of me sitting on him. That buckshot had splintered some rough sawn wood of a shed nearby.
Hardy har, I beg to share.
It didn't take any encouragement from me for Critter to bolt out of there. I peered back, fearful that the old boy would be lifting that shotgun and I'd have to shoot him, which I knew I could do. But Rudy Beaver had settled down and was watching the sheriff of Puma County, Wyoming skedaddle away from there. If this was evidence, I reckon that Judge Nippers would have no part of it. But it was something I'd sure tell Nippers about if he was sober enough to listen. I thought a little about sliding back there and nabbing the old boy and hauling him into Doubtful and making him tell his story to the judge. But I knew by the time I'd gotten Rudy Beaver in front of the judge, he'd either act crazy or claim he didn't know a thing. Which, come to think of it, might just be true. Critter was really dragging when we got back to Doubtful late in the evening. This time, his box stall would look pretty good to him. I steered him up Wyoming Street, wondering whether I'd find bodies stacked like cordwood and blood blackened in the street. But everything looked peaceful. There was a few lanterns still lit on Saloon Row, and I figured them rioters were all celebrating. I turned Critter toward the livery barn and rode him straight into the aisle. It was dark, so I scouted out a hurricane lamp in the office, lit it, and hung it on a peg in the aisle. I pulled Critter's saddle and blanket and bridle off, haltered him, brushed him down some, let him drink at the trough, and then led him to his stall. I swear, he trotted right in. Usually, it's all pull and haul. But this time, he was ready for some oats and sleep. I fed him some of them lousy oats Turk kept around there. And forked some hay in. And closed the gate behind him.
There you go.
Critter and I had come to an understanding. He wouldn't kill me, and I wouldn't kill him. And that was more than I could say for half the men in town this night. I strolled through darkness toward the square and saw the gallows sitting there, the noose dangling in the moonlight. That noose was now the center of the whole town. Everything in Doubtful radiated outward from that noose. A night wind started it swinging back and forth, twisting this way and that. There was no one else around there. So I hiked over to the sheriff's office. Bertel let me in. Everything quiet?
Sort of. I think every rider for the Anchor Ranch rode up to that gallows and studied it some.
Prisoners all right?
Last I looked, his pa and his sister want to see him, and I said they should talk to you in the morning.
Yeah, I guess they have a right to. Tomorrow being the boy's last full day.
I'll make sure Queen is clean.
Nah, we aren't going to search him. We're gonna let them in back there.
And I'll pat them down? After all they done to bust him out?
I'm gonna let him go back and see the boy without us staring at him or waving a gun at him. That's how it'll be.
Well, I don't wanna be here when they come out of the cells shooting.
Bragg loves that boy. His sister does too. They got a right to spend some time back there on his last day.
After we remove all those derringers and hacksaws and shotguns she's got in her skirts.
That's how I want it. Leave her and her pa alone. Tell the rest if I'm not here.
You're nuts, Pickens.
I think the boy didn't do it. I think he got roped into something, and I think I'm gonna be hanging a boy who didn't shoot anyone. Bertel stared at me like I was loco. I gotta talk to the judge.
Now? In the middle of the night?
A witness I talked with says it was Crayfish that killed the three T-bar men.
Well, that could change things some. Who was it?
Rudy Beaver. Bertel started laughing so bad, I just wanted to get outside. I hiked over to Judge Nipper's house through pitch-dark streets. Finally, a lamp glowed in the back, and then the judge stuck a shotgun into my ribs. He was wearing one of them nightshirts. You'd never catch me in one, dead or alive. I've always been a pants man. He eyed me up and down while I stood there, and finally decided I was the sheriff.
Next time I'll shoot first. This better be important, or it'll be your neck in the noose.
He motioned me in, closed and bolted the door, and then led me into the kitchen where the lamp burned.
For your sake, I hope this is mighty important.
I was poking around on the T-bar and got to talking to that old cowboy, Rudy Beaver, who's guarding the place. He told me all about how Crayfish tortured and killed the girls that Rocco rented from the cat houses and took out there. And he said Rocco was going to tattle on Crayfish, so Crayfish shot him and shot the Jonas brothers that were Maverick and Cavs. Only then the old coot turned around and said he was just inventing it all, and he didn't say any of it, and I didn't hear it. Is that good enough evidence for you to stay the execution?
Evidence? Did anyone see Crayfish shoot those three? What evidence? Pickens, you hang that boy good and proper. No matter whether he did it or not, we're gonna have justice here. You understand me?
I sort of don't.
You bring in evidence. Someone who actually saw Crayfish shoot those punks, and I'll cancel the show for you.
Yes, sir.
I want evidence. I'll spell it out. E-V-A-D-E-N-C-E.
I understand, Your Honor.
And don't wake me up in the middle of the night again, especially for this nonsense.
He let me out. It sure was dark. I'd never seen it so dark. There were stars up there, but nothing to guide me. I found my way to the boarding house in the blackest night I'd ever known and climbed the stairs to my room, mostly by feeling my way. I was just at my door when I sensed it was ajar. And when I slid my hand out, it was ajar, all right. I pulled my Colt 44 out, jammed the door open with my boot, and jumped aside, waiting for the assassin bullet to sail by. But it didn't happen.
I don't buy it.
I wasn't sure who was in there, but a flaring Lucifer resolved that for me. The match revealed Queen, sitting on my bunk. She was dressed proper, all in blue, but I wasn't sure she intended to stay that way from the brief smile she flashed at me. She lit another match and put it to the kerosene lamp and replaced the chimney and stared at me primly.
You can put that away.
How do I know you ain't got a mess of hardware on you? Last time we knocked heads together, you must have been carrying more metal than a hardware store under all them skirts.
Well, I'm not. I'll prove it.
She stood up and started undoing all them buttons down her front. Wait. Wait, I had to say that just for the record, so no one could accuse me of not slowing her down. But she was a spitfire and ignored me, so I quit whispering it. She wasn't in a stopping mood, and pretty quick she had that blue dress undone and was pulling it off, and I was too interested in all that to tell her to get it back on again. Then she was in her chemise and petticoat, or whatever all that stuff is called, and this time she did stop, sort of. She ran her hands all over herself, showing me that she didn't have any derringers or howitzers or Gatling guns or mortars or torpedoes or grenades hidden in there somewheres.
Happy now?
Uh-huh.
Then you can put your revolver back where it came from.
I obeyed her. I'm danged if I can understand why I'd obey her and why she could boss me around, but that's what she was up to.
Am I pretty?
Miss Queen, you don't need to ask.
Well, that's the first civilized thing you've ever said to me.
I'm not used to smiles. When you're with your pa, all I get is cold stares.
When I'm with my father, I'm under his big thumb. Can't escape it. I'm his wind-up toy. You know what he tells his friends about me? She's a pistol. That's what he calls me. But right now, I'm not under anyone's thumb. And he thinks I'm sound asleep in the hotel. And the only pistol I'm interested in is yours.
Oh, see here, miss. I'm a peace officer.
I like you, Cotton. That's one reason I'm here. The other reason is to find out about my brother. Whether there's anything new.
I knew it! You think you can tempt me into cutting him loose? She stared at me so bleakly I felt bad. I didn't mean that. I sure don't have women figured out yet. My ma, she always told me I needed a sister. But the coldness was back in her face again. The other queen. She rose and reached for the blue dress. I'm trying to save your brother. I don't think he did it. I get little pieces together, but the judge, he just hits him with a floss water.
You don't think he did it?
No, I don't. But trying to stop this here execution is like trying to stop an express train. I can't even slow it down. She sat there in the lamplight, her gold flesh glowing, the blue dress crumpled in her lap. She looked to be at the brink of tears. If there's anything that scares me, it's a woman crying. I got this here blue glass eyedropper bottle out of the last chance. Sammy Upward had it hid under the bar beside his sawed-off scatter gun. And my deputy, he told me it was knockout drops, so we tried it on a couple of them T-bar men outside the sheriff's office. Sure enough, they keeled over. So I sort of figured Upward put some of that stuff into King's red eye when he went over there.
Oh, what happened to the T-bar men?
They come to, after dozing a little in the sunlight, and thought they'd had a nap. Well, I told her the rest of the story.
Oh, we knew we didn't do it. We knew it.
Now, I ain't got any proof yet. And I know I got 1.5 days. Tomorrow and the next morning before 11 o'clock.
Oh, he didn't do it. He didn't do it.
I don't know one way or the other. But I'll keep trying to shake the truth out of someone. There's a few witnesses. Plug Parsons, Carter Bell.
You'll try, Cotton.
What do you think I've been doing?
Oh, Cotton.
She clutched me to her and hugged tight. And next I knew she was crying hot tears into my cheek. And I held her for a long time, till she finally pulled free. She wiped her eyes, took my hand and kissed it, got into her blue dress, and slid into the night. The next morning, I finally got myself together and headed into the streets of Doubtful. There sure was something in the air. No sooner did I step outside than I could sense it. The town was strung tight as a fiddle string, and there wasn't no shoppers or women or such on the streets. What with two rival outfits in town, both armed to the hilt, and a hanging, most everyone figured there'd be a lot of lead flying, and it would be better to stay behind walls. I took a look around. There were a few gunslicks around for sure, most of them lounging in the shade of them storefronts. I knew the sort. They was just itching to start the ball rolling. They pretended to build themselves smokes standing there, but they were looking slit-eyed at everything and everyone moving around, especially anyone from the other outfit. And most of that wolf pack was wearing a sidearm, but two or three was openly toting around scatter guns. They sure were itching to spill some bright blood onto the clay of Doubtful. I spotted Big Nose George and Smiley Thistlewaite leaning against the storefront, and I watched Plug Parsons deliberately walk down the middle of Wyoming Street, bull-necked and mostly bald, and not wearing a sidearm at all, just to show off. Carter Bell was lounging in front of Toadie's Beanery, like he would decide who'd go into the place for breakfast and who wouldn't. He had twin peacemakers poking from low-slung holsters tied down to his thighs. I thought that was sort of dumb, but that's how Bell wanted it. I decided to hold off on breakfast. Right now, there were a few things that needed doing. I walked toward Rosie's whorehouse and knew that every one of them gunslicks was watching my progress, and a few were thinking it might be the day's entertainment to shoot me in the back. But I had a task to do. I was the peace officer, and my business was to enforce the peace, and I would do it one way or another. Rosie's was over on the next street, on Red Light Row, but now there were no lamps burning, and the girls was all snoring away. They hardly got up before noon unless there was some urgent customer with a lot of cash in his britches, in which case they came awake fast. Rosie's was where I'd likely find Crayfish Rubel. I was going to talk to him and to Admiral Bragg, first off. So I walked up the wooden steps to Rosie's in broad daylight. Pretty soon the door opened up and Street let me in. Street was some sort of Hell's Kitchen hooligan from back east, and Rosie paid him good to keep order in her parlor house. I've always liked Street. He could hammer someone to a pulp and break a few bones and never get close to homicide. And besides, he was as good as a spare deputy sheriff if I needed him. His only vice was emptying the pockets of customers now and then, when they was off doing what they came to Rosie's to do. But no one ever complained about Street. I need to talk to Crayfish.
He's busy now, Sheriff.
Right now.
Well, he ain't gonna like it.
I watched Street lumber up the stairs toward Rosie's suite at the rear and knew that he'd have Crayfish in tow when he returned. But it took a while, and when Crayfish showed up, Street wasn't with him as he walked down them stairs to the parlor.
Well, this better be good.
I'm here to tell you that no one wears sidearms or carries any sort of weapon at the hanging tomorrow. Any of your men are carrying, my deputies will throw them into my jail, and they'll stay there until they pay the fine for disturbing the peace. And it'll take a month before I give them their sidearms back. Get that?
Good luck.
You got the word.
You shouldn't have gotten me up. Now I'll go pester Rosie, who likes her beauty sleep, and the whole day will be off to a bad start.
He started up the stairs, and I got out of there. Next step would be the hotel. I started up Wyoming Street, and I swear there was a mess of eyes focused on me, stares coming at me from shadowed doorways, windows, alleys, and from the plank walks in front of the stores. I never felt so looked at in all my days. That was all right. Let them see the law walking up Wyoming Street. Let them know the law was still keeping the peace in Doubtful. For the moment, anyway. That was the thing about this day. Peaceful one moment, but what about the next? Still, it was sunny and cheerful, so I walked past all them lounging riders and gunslicks, and pretty quick I was at the hotel. I found Admiral Bragg and Queen in the dining room like I'd hoped. They was just finishing up, so I headed for their table. Queen gave me a cold stare and lifted that chin of hers a notch or two. This was the other Queen, the one when her paw was ruling the roost. I didn't see the slightest nod, not the smallest signal that she remembered the night before, and the hug and the tears she shed that flowed down my cheek. Want to talk to you, Mr. Bragg? Tomorrow, I'm forbidden sidearms at the courthouse square and anywhere else in town. We're going to keep the peace here. Any rider wearing a sidearm or carrying a weapon, he's going to get pinched by my deputies and kept in the jail until he pays a fine for disturbing the peace. And it'll be 30 days before he can collect his guns.
Are you quite through, Sheriff?
And that goes for you, too. It goes for Crayfish Ruble. It goes for anyone in town. My job is to keep the peace, and it's going to be kept.
Except for the violence done to my son. When the peaceful noose peacefully ends his peaceful life.
Well, that's justice, and it'll be done proper. And there'll be no arms on anyone in this town. And now you've been told, so see to it.
Thank you, Sheriff. Your advice is always entertaining.
Queen was staring at me. And this time there was no ice in it, only something close to tears. I nodded slightly.
I think it's a good idea.
Her father stared at her, his face reddening, steam rising in his boilers.
Bullets have a way of finding the wrong targets. Please, Mr. Pickens, do what you can.
Well, I pretty near had a fit. Her sticking to her guns, and her paw looking like the safety valve was going to blow on his boilers. He smiled suddenly.
She takes after her mother.
Mr. Pickens is doing everything he can for us.
That done it. He arose swiftly, yanked her up, and steered her toward the rooms and back. She refused to budge, and he dragged her across the dining room and finally out the door, our eyes locked just as he propelled her into the lobby. But in that split second, I saw something I can't rightly put words to. Sorrow and triumph. An iron will, I guess.
Now then, what were you saying, Sheriff?
I'm saying that if you or your men disturb the peace in Doubtful, I'll lock you all up, you especially, and toss out the key.
Give it a try, sonny boy.
Meanwhile, Queen, she roared back into the dining room and headed straight for me. And before her paw could collect his wits and drag her off again, she came right up and kissed me square on the cheek. Then she stood there, daring her paw to have himself a heart attack.
I'll deal with you later.
His fist knocked me flat on my butt. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't trying to get in the middle of a family fight. I come up high, piled after him. But he was ready with a kick to my groin and some moves that told me that this man had some serious training. But I didn't care. I was young and hot and went after him. Until he pulled my .44 from its holster. And then I was so mad, I knocked him across the room, spilling tables and chairs. And then I landed on him just about when he was getting his arm around to point my piece at me. The shot hit the ceiling.
Ooh.
I got the best of him then. It twisted his hand until he dropped the iron. Then I yanked him up. Hit him again.
You're gonna spend some time as my guest.
I pushed him hard, scooped up my revolver, and marched him off toward my executive suite in the jail. Queen, she stood there dry-eyed.
Tell your riders, if they show up armed tomorrow, they'll all go where your paw's going.
I will.
I suppose you know we'll tear your jail apart.
Walk, or I'll drag you.
He walked, soon resuming that disdainful way of his, as if I weren't clutching his shirt and holding my six gun in his ribs. Now the whole town was watching. A lot of folks had heard that shot, and they were buzzing around doubtful like hornets on the loose, looking to see who croaked. But no one croaked. When they saw me dragging the boss of the biggest ranch in the valley off to my iron cages, it sure started the mouths flapping. We got to the sheriff's office and jailhouse where a couple of them T-bar men was lounging as usual, and they sure got an eyeful, me marching the biggest cheese in the valley through my doors. Rusty, he saw me coming and let us in.
Book him.
For what?
I'll think of something.
Discharging a firearm?
That'll do. Anything'll do. Throw the book. Find enough stuff to keep him in here for a few months. Pat him down.
Rusty went to work and pulled out a double-barreled Derringer from Bragg's breast pocket and a hideout ankle knife he kept for insurance.
You'll get these back when I feel like it, which I don't.
I steered Admiral Bragg through the jailhouse door and then into a cell opposite his boy. The door shut behind him, and he turned to stare at me so hard it looked like murder was pouring out, which probably was about right. He saw his son across the aisle and stared.
Queen disobeyed me.
I'm glad someone finally did.
Listen, you ten-horned lawman, I want to post bail. I want my lawyer Stokes here right away, and I want Judge Nippers here pronto as well.
I'm not letting you out until 11 tomorrow morning.
What are you holding me for?
I'll think of something.
It's illegal keeping me in here without charges.
Maybe so. I'll read a law book sometime and find out.
Watch your back.
That's how he thought. If he couldn't get what he wanted, try a threat. But I would watch my back, all right. I'm leaving him in your care.
Oh, come on, Cotton. I'm getting tired of being persecuted. How about giving me a day off soon or some hardship pay?
You can have a day off when we clean out the cells, which will be tomorrow. Unless we have to throw a few more cowboys in between now and the big event.
I guess I have to put up with it. What do you want me to feed him?
King Bragg gets whatever he wants for a last meal. Ask him what he wants and we'll do what we can for him. It's owed him. A good last chow down.
Ask him yourself.
I'm going out.
And leaving me here.
Watch the place and keep them scatter guns handy. Rusty poured some weak old Java from the speckled blue pot on the stove and settled into my chair. I was glad to get out of there and into some fresh morning air. The sun was out, but it wasn't a nice day. The whole town of Doubtful was brooding, waiting for the next day, or maybe waiting to get past the next day. I saw Mayor Waller putting up some broadsides on his store, advertising courthouse specials at 20% off. I guess courthouse specials were really hanging specials, which he would offer to the mob that would assemble on that patch of grass the next morning. But just now, there wasn't a soul on the streets. I made my way to Saloon Row, hoping to find Mrs. Gladstone open for business. I pushed through the batwing doors into the sampling room, which was empty. Mrs. Gladstone saw me and froze into an iceberg. I didn't blame her any. She tried and lost, and I was halfway embarrassed myself. She stood behind her bar, rigid and frosty, waiting.
You sure are a beautiful woman.
That didn't melt one particle of ice, but maybe a little more heat would.
I guess you're just about the finest gal in the territory. She stood unmoving. You had something about King Bragg that you was thinking of sharing with me the other evening. She studied me, a sudden gentleness in her face. Then she nodded slowly. Something you thought might help the boy?
It wasn't anything. Not something that would stop this legalized murder.
But you thought it was something.
You know, they were waiting for King. They waited a long time for King to come here. That foreman, Plug Parsons, came over here from the Last Chance every few minutes, looked around here, and left. He'd come in with several T-bar men. Their horses were tied out front.
Crayfish with him?
Why, yes, he was there.
How do you know that?
I saw them ride up to the hitch rail.
Who else?
Oh, I don't know all those T-bar people. But the ones that got killed, they came too.
The Jonas Brothers and Rocco?
Rocco, I know. Every woman in Doubtful knows Rocco.
And Parsons came looking for King Bragg.
Like clockwork. Every few minutes, he just poked his head in here, looked around, and left.
What did he say?
His boss wanted to talk to King.
After the shooting, what happened?
I saw Crayfish in the alley. He'd come out to, you know, relieve himself.
And did he go back into the Last Chance?
I don't know, Sheriff. I was wondering about the shots next door.
Is that it? What you wanted to tell me about?
It isn't very much, Mr. Pickens.
Would you come tell this to Judge Nippers?
But I would have to close up.
Maybe it's worth closing up. Well, she did. She pulled off her apron, fluffed up her hair some, and closed her saloon.
Do you think it will help that boy?
The judge wants a witness. Someone who saw Crayfish pull the trigger on those three. We walked up empty streets, but I saw some of them riders lurking in the shadows, seeing what kind of trouble they could stir up. There was T-bar men on the left and Anchor Ranch men on the right, staring at each other across the wide clay street. Every last one of them was armed. Me, I walked Mrs. Gladstone straight up the middle. Judge Nippers wasn't in yet, but I set Mrs. Gladstone down and went hunting for him. He was over in the beanery polishing off some pig knuckle stew, and I told him Mrs. Gladstone had a thing or two to say. He belched some and looked unhappy like he hadn't started his daily sipping yet, and it was keeping him out of sorts. But he paid up and started along with me on his gouty feet past the gallows with that noose dangling there for all the world to see. And finally we got up the stairs to his chambers where Mrs. Gladstone sat primly. She looked him over as she would a potential lover while he pushed a skeleton key into the door and let us all into his office.
What now?
I nodded to Mrs. Gladstone and she sort of started in, but she didn't get halfway through before he interrupted.
You see those three get shot?
No, Your Honor.
So you don't have a shred of evidence?
It's worth a stay of the execution until we find out more. There's a real question here. I'm no lawyer, but I know there's doubts. Real doubts.
Sheriff, you come up with evidence. Evidence. And don't bother me again unless you've got a witness. Until then, that boy's as guilty as sin.
I helped Mrs. Gladstone to her feet. She was fighting back tears. But Nippers pretended not to notice. We walked all the way back. It seemed like the longest walk I ever took. Like we were walking back into sadness. I went into the sampling room with her. And next I knew she was crying her heart out. She left the closed sign in the window. She just sat there on a chair, too broken to move, the tears leaking down those soft cheeks. I ached to help her, but there wasn't a thing I could do. I couldn't help her, and I couldn't help the boy, and I couldn't help this town of Doubtful. The door opened, and Queen come in. I'd never seen her in there, and was sure her pa never let her come close to the place, even if it was the saloon that Anchor Ranch riders always come to and call their own. She looked at me and at Mrs. Gladstone, whose tears flowed steadily, and she sat beside the older woman and held her hand.
Oh, my dear.
I thought maybe Queen was going to cry, too, but she didn't. They sat there in their helplessness. There was nothing they could do, nothing I could do, nothing anyone on earth could do. Unless I could rattle a confession out of someone or some testimony out of someone. It was up to me. It was always up to me. There wasn't no one to help me. I left them two women in the closed saloon, stepped into the bright sun, not knowing where to start. But the court testimony depended on two witnesses, Plug Parsons and Carter Bell, so I suppose that was where to start. I didn't know where they might be,
or what I'd do if I found them. But the last chance was right next door, and that was where they'd likely be, and where the murder of 3 men had happened not long before, and where I'd open the case if it was to be opened. I pushed into the last chance and waited until my eyes got used to the darkness. There were plenty of T-bar men in there, and they'd turned silent when I walked in. But I didn't see the big body of Plug Parsons or the short and rat-faced one of Carter Bell. What I did see was a lot of riders who were wearing one or two sidearms. Sammy was behind the bar, eyeing me like he didn't want me in there, but I was in no mood to leave. Give me a sarsaparilla. Sammy looked annoyed, but he uncorked the jug of it and poured a tumbler full. He snapped the glass down so hard in front of me that it didn't take any smarts to figure how he felt just then. I laid a dime on the bar and he swept it away. The sarsaparilla was warm and cheesy. You find what you were missing?
Oh, I'm not missing anything. It's false alarm. I thought it was, but it wasn't. Got what I was looking for.
So you never told me what you thought was missing?
I thought someone nipped a bottle of gin.
But it was here.
Well, it's drunk up now. Crayfish, he sure likes good London gin. He has me order it in.
Well, tomorrow it'll be over. You must be glad to see justice done. Them 3 that King Bragg killed, did he shoot him in self-defense?
Your card, Sheriff.
King must have been fast, pumping 6 rounds into them 3 before they knew what hit him.
Well, they sure weren't expecting it. They were just sipping suds when they began taking on lead pills.
Too bad you was back there and didn't see it.
Well, that kid was wild. When someone like him pulls an iron, I don't want to be around. I'm alive to tell about it.
Well, it'll all be over tomorrow. Justice done, and everyone in Pima County will forget it ever happened.
And that's what we're counting on.
Oh, one thing, Sammy, and I want you to spread it. No sidearms, no weapons in the courthouse square or anywhere in town tomorrow. Not one. Anyone shows up armed in any way, my deputies will toss him into the tank, and he won't see a sidearm for 30 days. And he'll be charged with disturbing the peace.
How many men you think that's gonna stop?
As many as we can arrest and haul away. I've told Crayfish, he's got the word. I've told Admiral, he's got the word. Now I'm telling these here men, so they got the word. And next I'm gonna tell the Anchor Ranch men, so they get the word. There's not gonna be one person on the courthouse square tomorrow who hadn't gotten the word. We're gonna have a peaceful and proper hanging, and there's not gonna be any trouble. I knew every man in that place was listening real hard. The sun was getting low, and so was I, when Caboose, the little breed boy that Big Lulu hired, came trotting up.
Miss Lulu, she wants to see you. Someone in there worrying her.
Caboose, you tell Lulu I'll get on over real quick. Caboose trotted toward Red Light Row, and I started in behind, wondering what was troubling such a pleasant old madam. When I did get there, Big Lulu was in the parlor as usual. I peered around and didn't see much of any trouble brewing, except that over in a corner was Carter Bell, and none too sober either. I'd been looking for Carter Bell. He was one of them witnesses I wanted to rattle a little. I was glad to see him. I'd been looking for him and for Plug Parsons, seeing as how they were the only witnesses to the killing of them 3 T-bar men. But I didn't approach him just then. Big Lulu wanted me, so I just moseyed up to her.
Carter Bell's scaring us. He's over there pouring red-eye down and getting angry, and even pulling his gun out and waving it around.
Any reason?
He says he's the next Rocco.
Next Rocco?
Crayfish told him he would replace Rocco. Get women for Crayfish. Take care of all that for a 5-a-month pay raise.
And Carter didn't refuse?
You don't refuse Crayfish, you know that. And Crayfish told him if there was trouble, he'd get what Rocco got.
Which was?
A bullet through the heart, dearie.
Well, it don't make sense to me. It being King Bragg's bullet.
You always been a little slow, Pickens.
She got up and went to give her attention to Mayor Waller and about half of them businessmen. I got a couple tumblers of red eye and headed over to Carter Bell, who was sitting in that dark corner looking real blue.
Maybe this'll cheer you up, Carter. I saw you sitting here looking like things ain't so good, so I'll come along with a little liquid comfort.
I could use it.
He swiftly drank the whole tumbler. That must have been a red-hot volcano going down, because the red-eye hadn't been aged for more than a few weeks. But he just patted his mouth. He was real genteel that way, not like the usual cowboy.
I heard tell once he even used talcum powder on his cheeks after he shaved. I sure don't know what a fella like that was doing around Doubtful, but there's all sorts of strange types floating around. I'm pretty blue myself, having to hang a feller in the morning.
Well, he earned it.
Guess he did. Either that or he deserved a medal for bumping off some miserable specimens like Rocco.
Rocco? Yeah, he deserved it all right. Trying to double-cross Mr. Ruble.
That's what I heard. Sure was fortunate for Crayfish that the brag boy come along and killed off Rocco.
Just between you and me.
Big Lulu says you've got Rocco's job.
$5 raise and bring him women whenever he wants one. Yeah, I got the job even if I didn't want it. That's how he is. You do what he says.
You could always pack up and vamoose.
Maybe I should.
You know what, Carter? My friend the judge, Nippers himself, really enjoyed that trial and keeps asking about all the witnesses and how they're doing. You want to share some real good bourbon with him? It ain't red eye. It's good Kentucky. He's a real good drinker and he likes company.
What are you talking about, Sheriff?
Old Nippers, he sure enjoyed that trial. He'd sure enjoy a little palaver with you.
Well, I'm not inclined to drink with a judge, Sheriff. I'm not in that class of people.
No, not drink. Swap a few stories. Tell a few yarns. I bet you could tell him some dandies.
Well, I could. Lead the way. I don't know if I'll stay there. Got a few stories to tell him, and I'll just see what he thinks of some cowboy.
I steered him out of that parlor and got me a grateful nod from Big Lulu, who was plenty happy to see Belle out of her place with no damage done. We slid outside. The shadows were growing long, and that kid was lighting her red lamp that hung on a bracket at the door.
Is there something here I'm not figuring out?
If there is, I wish someone would tell it to me. Nippers is the stubbornest mule in Doubtful, and when he believes something, there's no way to shake him loose of it. He always said your testimony and Plug Parsons' testimony was what put the noose on King Bragg. Bell wasn't talking anymore, but neither did he quit me, so we hiked up Wyoming Street toward the courthouse square. Nippers would be in. In fact, he'd be there all night, hoping as much as I was hoping that someone would give him a reason to call off the necktie party. Maybe Carter Bell would give him a reason. But it wouldn't happen if the sheriff of Puma County was hanging around listening to the pair of them drink and talk. I steered Bell up the stairs and down a dark hallway to a lamp-lit open door. Just as I figured, there was old Axel Nippers in his swivel chair, about half asleep. He wouldn't sleep this night any more than I would, and he wouldn't budge from his office through the endless night.
You is it. What do you got for me, huh?
This here's Carter Bell, Judge.
Of course it is. How could it be anyone else?
Pickens, there are times when I wonder about you.
I wonder about me too, Your Honor.
Well, pull up that stool and have a nip with me.
Bell, he sort of eyed me, but he didn't. The judge has the best Kentucky in the territory. Nippers handed Bell his slender bottle, and Bell took a nip. I thought you fellers might have a fine time. Bell here's replacing Rocco as Crayfish's fetch-it man.
You don't say. What do you fetch, huh?
Bell got a $5 raise for it. $5 or get out of Puma County.
Well, have a nip and tell me.
I left the judge and Carter Bell in there and hurried away. I slid out the front door, where it was twilight, and the last light caught the noose dangling from the gallows, ready for use at 11. I didn't much care to stand there in the chill. Some cold air was lowering off the mountains, and it sent a shiver up my spine. I was about to get back to the sheriff's office when I seen a ghost. That's what she seemed at first, but it turned out to be Queen, dressed in white, with a white shawl around her neck. She come on over and stood near me, and we both were lost in our thoughts. Well, maybe we didn't have a thing to say. I was going to be her brother's hangman, and that kept us quiet. Finally, she broke the silence.
How's my father?
Dunno. I've been trying to come up with something, but I ain't got anywhere.
I'm glad you hauled him away.
He's just the same as anyone else, assaulting a peace officer, and he gets himself in trouble.
He's never spent an hour in jail.
He's been most of a day now. I'll let him go when the time comes.
I told the ranch people not to come armed. I think they'll heed me.
You done a good thing.
No, I haven't done anything good. There's no good in the world. It's only grief and tears and death.
I kept quiet. A breeze was twirling the noose. She saw it too.
I have to decide what to do with King after... after it's over. My father thought it never would be over. He was ready to shoot his way out. But it's gonna be over. And we need a grave. And since he can't think of it, I have to. I want it to be a good place for my brother. I want it to be a place where I can go and sit on the grass and think of him and look at the memories one after another and not let go of him.
If I could change it, Miss Bragg, I surely would.
You don't have to tell me.
I'll go look after your father.
He needs looking after. No one ever looked after him before because we were all too busy obeying.
I took her hand and held it a moment and then let go. She continued her vigil at the gallows while I pushed through the darkness. I found Rusty and Bertel holding the fort.
Any trouble out there?
It's quiet. You fellas go on home. I'm staying here tonight. I can't sleep anyway.
But what if they rush you? Try to spring the kid?
You'll hear it, and I'll have help.
Doesn't seem right.
Here's what you do. Rusty, you patrol Saloon Row and then call it quits. Bertel, you check the rest of the town and call it quits. And I'll see you both in the morning. You'll need your sleep, because tomorrow we got to be sharp.
It's you that's carrying a lot on your back.
Yes, I am. They slid into the night, and I barred the door behind them. There was only one kerosene lamp lit, and the whole office was thick with shadow, which was how I wanted it. I unlocked the jail door, and sure enough, Admiral Bragg was glaring daggers at me.
You let me out or you'll pay for it.
You're staying put. I headed for King Bragg's cell, down one and across. He lay on his iron bunk staring upward. He seemed lost to the world already, as if he had somehow passed away, but he was alive still. They treated you all right. You get the meal you wanted?
I don't want any food. What good's a last meal? A fancy last meal does nothing for a man about to die. It's offered so the hangman can feel better.
You won't come out and stretch in my office? He stared, absorbing that, and nodded. Unlocked and stepped aside, wary and ready for anything. But the kid just stepped through and walked ahead of me down the aisle past his paw.
If you can let him out, you can let me out.
I'd be a foolish sheriff if I did that.
You already are. And you won't be sheriff for long. You'll be out of office, one way or other, in hours.
Well, thanks for the warning. Your daughter's told your men to put their guns away tomorrow.
What?
I ignored him. I let the kid out in the office, ready for trouble, but he just stood there in that lamplight. Have a seat. King Bragg sat, staring at the walls, at the gun rack, at the stuff on my desk, and then sort of sagged into the chair. Anything you want to talk about?
No. There's nothing. There's no tomorrow, so there's nothing.
Anything you want me to do? To tell people? Anything you want to write? He stared into the lamp so long, I thought he wouldn't say anything.
I have a question you won't like. How can you sit there talking to a man you're going to hang in a few hours?
Just dumb, I guess. You want to know how I feel? I feel like opening that door and telling you to fly into the night and don't never come back to Puma County. But I can't. I got a duty and I got to do it. And what I feel don't count.
I hoped for it. Maybe it would be good. But mostly I'd be a fugitive. My life no good.
Let me out, you son of a bitch!
My ma would take offense.
My mother wasn't like my father. He controlled her just like he controlled Queen and me and his men. And tried to control his neighbors and the politicians and you. And tried to control the rain and the snow and the land and the water and the stock and the game. She simply died because that's all she could think to do when she got tired of being his woman. He taught us to be like himself. He gave me a gun 4 years ago and told me to make the whole world afraid of me, and then I'd be a real king. Look what it got me.
You and Queen. You've both busted loose of him.
Too late. She set herself free.
She did.
That's why she'll live a good life. I was too late.
We sank into one of them silences, and I watched a moth flit around the lamp. It'd likely get itself burnt pretty quick.
Do you think there's an afterlife?
I'm inclined against it, but I haven't got it figured out yet.
I guess I'm slated for hell. If I killed 3 men, that is. So God says get down there and suffer, and get burned up, and know there's no hope from now until the end of time. Maybe that's it. Maybe this is just the beginning. Maybe this is the easy part, getting my neck snapped in one bad moment. It's the slow stuff. The roasting in the flames. 1,000 years from now? 10,000 years from now? I'll still be roasting away down there. And there's no getting loose.
Sounds almost as bad as heaven. I sure get myself in a snit when I think about getting stuck there. I don't know how to play any harp. I wish there was some sort of in-between place where I could have a rip-roaring time now and then get a good beefsteak and a shot of red eye and find me the prettiest gal anywheres.
Do you believe it? Really, really believe it?
Heaven and hell? No, not like that. Not eternal damnation. Not eternal wandering around on streets paved with gold. No way.
Well, maybe just a little time in heaven or hell, and then, you know, nothing.
Makes more sense to me. But my ma always told me I'm a little slow, so don't take my word for it.
Do you think I'll get to see my mother?
That would be the good part of it, if you get the chance.
Do you think I'd have time enough to tell her that I got into trouble?
Maybe you could tell her that you stood up to your pa and made yourself a man. I saw him start to crumble, and I was afraid to say anything more. He didn't quite. He just struggled to hold it all in, and pretty soon he did.
I guess she can take me back there now. I want some time alone.
You want a preacher tomorrow?
It doesn't matter. I don't know what I believe in. He'll just pray for mercy, and that's about the last I'll ever hear.
He stood, making himself stand real tall and straight. I could see that in him. I unlocked the jailhouse door and took him back to his cell. King Bragg walked into his cell, and I locked him up. He settled down on his bunk, staring at the ceiling. He had a few long hours left and was probably wishing they'd go fast. He wasn't fighting or pacing or yelling or weeping or even hoping. He was already gone, at least in his head, and probably that numbness was keeping him quiet. It was hard even for me to look at him there. I started up the aisle, knowing I'd not get past Admiral, and I didn't.
Put us out of here, both of us, right now, and you can retire for life.
I'll tell Judge Nippers of your kind offer. I'd be a lucky feller getting to retire at my age.
You can have Queen if you want her.
I stared at him, not quite believing my ears. He'd said it. It didn't seem worth an answer, so I headed out of there. Don't you go nowhere. Cotton Pickings continues on the next CD.